With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Tennessee Williams, two views. First, Arnold Spoto, author of The Kindness of Strangers.
I think there's no question that Tennessee Williams was indeed a tormented individual.
And Dotson Rader, author of Tennessee, Cry of the Heart.
As long as our language is spoken, Tennessee's work will live.
Such Tennessee Williams plays as A Streetcar Named Desire and The Glass Menagerie are likely to endure as long as there is a theater. Williams died in 1983 after choking on a plastic bottle cap. Dotson Rader looks at Tennessee from the perspective of a close personal friend.
I think there's like 11 books in the works now on Tennessee. And except for myself, no one writing about Tennessee ever met him. And I was his best friend, and I lived with him, and I knew the man.
Rader says he saw Tennessee as a surrogate father, and after William's death, knew his was a story that should be told.
I thought, if I don't write it, if I don't say what it was, this man was like, his laughter and his sense of humor and his kindness and his meanness and his tantrums, the man's life will be lost.
Donald Spoto's book is a meticulously detailed biography of the Mississippi-born playwright.
Tennessee Williams was, from 1944 to 1961, not only our most controversial playwright, but our most successful, our most poetic, are most highly compensated.
Spoto says that Williams, despite emotional problems, drug and alcohol abuse, and guilt over his homosexuality, worked incessantly until the very end.
For most of his life, this resulted in a body of work remarkable for its success, remarkable for the range and depth of its voice, and for the reach of its art.
Donald Spoto, author of The Kindness of Strangers, The Life of Tennessee Williams, published by Little Brown. Dotson Rader wrote Tennessee, Cry of the Heart, published by Doubleday. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. The writer Dotson Rader first met Tennessee Williams in 1969 and relates the story in his personal memoir about the late playwright, Tennessee, Cry of the Heart. The meeting took place at a party to celebrate a porn movie in New York.
Candy Darling, who was a drag queen superstar of Warhols, was there. And she came up to me and rather brushes and said, Tennessee Williams here and wants to meet you. And I said, well, Tennessee's dead, isn't he? And she said, no, he's my date and he wants to meet you. She was very jealous.
So Dotson Rader, no stranger to the homosexual community, struck up a friendship with Tennessee Williams.
He'd read some of my stuff and he asked me how much I charged to spend a night with a gentleman. And I said $100, $200, something like that. And he sort of rolled his eyes. Then he said, well, what would I charge to accompany a gentleman to dinner? And I said, $50. And then he rolled his eyes and he said, well, what about lunch, baby?
Lunch it was at the Plaza Hotel. The lives of Dotson Rader and Tennessee Williams continued to cross until the playwright's death in 1983. Rader says Williams was like a father to him while sometimes acting like a child.
He'd be locked in the bedroom and I'd knock on the door and I'd say, so-and-so's here. And he'd say, this voice would ring out, tell him I'm dead, or I've just had a heart attack. And then you'd have to go in and you'd have to get him to do it, and then he would pout.
Donald Spoto has also written about Williams in a detailed biography called The Kindness of Strangers.
There's no doubt that he was a man riddled with conflict. He lived his life within an envelope of great pain, and yet there was a great valor about his character and personality.
Donald Spoto says Tennessee Williams, until the end, never lost his sense of decency and humanity. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Tennessee Williams, despite his homosexuality, developed fundamental truths about human experience. Donald Spoto, who wrote The Kindness of Strangers, The Life of Tennessee Williams, says the playwright was an unwitting prey to the effects of alcohol and drug abuse.
And also a man, I think, who never made peace with being a member of a sexual minority group.
Writer Dotson Rader came to know Williams well in the last years of his life.
Tennessee grew up in a world in which literally, to be a homosexual was to be an outlaw.
So Williams compensated for a hostile world by turning to his art. Tennessee's life was complicated by frequent homosexual affairs, but Dotson Rader, who wrote Tennessee, Cry of the Heart, says it was a reflection of a desperate need for affection.
Tennessee cruised not so much for sex as for companionship.
Did you have a sexual relationship with Tennessee Williams?
No, I mean, just to regard to the boys, I think we went through hundreds of them.
Rader says the fact that Williams was a homosexual seems to be suppressed.
High school kids read Walt Whitman, or they read Hawthorne, or they read Melville, and they're never told that these were homosexual writers. It's the same process is happening with Tennessee, because this country will not allow gay youngsters to have a role model.
Dotson Rader tells about the time in Key West when he and Tennessee were surrounded by a group of young thugs.
I said, Tennessee, let's get out of here. And he looked at me and looked at the kids, and he said, "My name is Tennessee Williams, and I am not in the habit of retreat." Whereupon they hit me. He picked him up and threw him on top of me and started kicking him. And later, when I asked him, I said to him, "Who the hell were those kids who mugged us?" And he said, "Oh, baby, they're probably New York drama critics."
Probably were.
With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. It was no secret that Tennessee Williams abused drugs and alcohol, which may have contributed to his death by choking on a bottle cap in a New York City hotel room. But Dodson Rader, author of Tennessee, Cry of the Heart, insists Tennessee never used recreational drugs, but those prescribed to him by doctors.
Tennessee wouldn't wake up in the morning and say, "I want to get high today." He wouldn't use drugs in order to get a buzz on, in order to flip out.
But Rader says Williams' day was started with a martini.
He'd get up early, and he'd toddle off into the kitchen, if this is Key West, and he'd make himself a martini and a pot of coffee, and I'd make him a martini, and I'd be on my way to bed, and we'd have a drink together, and then he'd take his coffee and a bottle of red wine in the studio and then disappear for 4 hours, 5 hours at work.
Donald Smoto has written a well-crafted biography called The Kindness of Strangers, The Life of Tennessee Williams, believes that the cumulative effect of years of alcohol and drug dependence contributed to his decline.
Some say this never took a toll on him. I think that's naive.
But Smoto says there were other factors that resulted in Williams' decline as a force in the theater.
In 1963, he suffered the loss of his longtime friend, companion, assistant, and lover, Frank Merlo. This was a great time of grief for Williams, from which, in a sense, he never recovered.
And at the same time, there was a cultural shift in America among those who no longer welcomed the voice of Tennessee Williams.
By the time we in America came to the 1960s, it was almost as if anyone who preceded the arrival of the Beatles was called irrelevant.
Donald Smoto, author of The Kindness of Strangers, published by Little Brown, and Dodson Rader, who wrote Tennessee, Cry of the Heart, published by Doubleday. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. When enough time separates the work of playwright Tennessee Williams from his contemporaries, the world will be better able to know where he ranks in the history of literature and the theater. Writer Donald Smoto notes that Williams declined as a voice in the 1960s.
Williams represented the traditional theater. His voice was no longer welcome.
And there were contradictory demands that Williams top himself.
The critical and theater audience simply said, "Why isn't he giving us great plays anymore?"
Smoto is the author of The Kindness of Strangers, The Life of Tennessee Williams.
The fact is, in Williams we have a voice that is almost always contemporary.
Smoto says Williams transformed the raw stuff of his own life to reach something fundamental in human experience.
He was not a writer for a cause other than compassion for struggling humanity. Tennessee Williams did not write about heterosexual feelings or homosexual feelings. He wrote about human feelings.
And Dodson Rader, who has written his own memoir called Tennessee, Cry of the Heart, believes that Williams' work will live as long as the language exists.
He invented the South, and his invention is so powerful that from now until the end of history, people will not be able to look at the American South except through his eyes.
You might recall the play A Streetcar Named Desire and that immortal line uttered by Blanche as she is taken away to a mental institution by a doctor she does not recognize. Here's Donald Smoto.
She takes his arm and says, "Whoever you are, I have always depended on the kindness of strangers."
With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.